You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, later in the hour. Bit of a buzz in the city with James Harden here as well. We've talked about that extensively. Harden, Westbrook, the Rockets playing down at Scotiabank. You can watch that on TSN 4 tonight. So we'll tee that up a little bit later in the hour. We've placed a number on his points. I'll bet you Vegas has it somewhere, Graps, if you can find it. Yeah, I would think individual point totals. Harden, 34.5, which is just an outrageous number. 34.5, and I think it's low.
That seems low.
I think it's low, based on the way he's playing and what he's capable of doing offensively.
I got rinsed last night by the Oilers.
That was a trap game.
It was 4-2. I think it was maybe 3-2 or 4-2, and I had a bet with Puffy down in Studio 6. That the Oil would still win the game.
No. At 4-2?
Yeah, it was like 4-2 at the beginning of the second period.
I think Mike Smith wasn't wearing skates when he came in.
I'll tell you what, Ottawa's a little gritty, grindy team.
But they were pissed the night before. I was on Edmonton Radio yesterday morning, and I said, total trap game. They got dummied the night before, and Ottawa is a team that's got a lot of pride. Those guys want it. And I said, you fall asleep against them. And that Koskinen went to sleep. 2 goals in 12 seconds. And they couldn't recover. 2-on-1 they gave up. It was 3-1. And I was like, I don't think they're getting back into it. And Edmonton dominated that first period. That game should have been over. McDavid hit 2 posts.
Yeah.
Like they just found a way to get it done. But, you know, the Oilers got a rebound.
They've been quite consistent. They haven't had a big dip.
No,
at any point.
And maybe it will come, but that's one thing that, and I do see some of the numbers guys saying that they're due for a fall or a dip, but they've built up a little bit. I still believe they may end up in a wild card spot, but from where we thought they were going to be going into the season, for them to be a playoff team now, Draisaitl and McDavid have been all world. They've been ridiculous. But they found some money in a guy like Ethan Bear. They've got some good players there.
I think what we established earlier, the Maple Leafs, the goalpost has changed, and now the expectations, they have to change. It's 30 games. You can't keep pretending like they're up there with Boston and Washington. They're not.
Right.
The expectations have gone from playoff lock to 50-50 if they get in. And that might be liberal the way they've been playing. I think the same thing applies with Edmonton on the opposite side. I didn't think they were a playoff team. I'm not convinced they'll get in. There's a lot of games left.
Right.
But I think at the very least, you've got to expect that they're there.
Yeah.
At this point, if they miss, it'll be disappointing for them.
Yeah. Their expectation for them with the way that they've played and the consistency and stuff is that that's got to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
As far as expectation level, I still think they're going to hit the ditch a little bit here or there. I wouldn't be shocked if they were a wild card team, but I still think they are a playoff team. And we haven't talked about your coat at all today. Did you see? Like, I didn't know there's a pattern.
I didn't either. It's like a camo or something.
There's some sort of like oceans or.
It's camo.
It's not camo.
It's camo. It's camo. I'm telling you, it's camo.
It's green and blue camo, and I love it.
It's a subtle camo. And that's why I've been at the mall. I've been at the mall the last couple of days, moving and shaking over there.
I wasn't even paying attention, and then I'm looking at him like, this coat is quite mesmerizing.
I'm bringing out a new jacket tomorrow. It's similar to that, and I am going to feel very good about it tomorrow, but I'm glad you brought it up. Wow. I told you guys, I've been hanging out at the mall the past few days.
Moving and shaking, and that caught your eye.
This is the one. I walked by the rack. I said, subtle camo. I don't own any camo other than this.
Is that a Randy River job?
Yeah, it feels like old Double R. No, it's
Double R will get you sucked in every time.
I'm not actually sure where this is from.
Don't wave in
but
case
I
the
loved
arm
it.
Falls off.
No, man. The arm pattern is outstanding.
It is very nice.
I don't think it gets picked up on TV, though.
No, it looks
you
just
won't
dark.
See that on TV.
Here, Norm Peterson's running things. If you can do a little... Like, see if you can zoom in. This is great radio.
Yeah, great radio zooming in on the coat. There's a There's a pattern involved.
It's a pattern. It's a subtle camo. It's very 2020.
It's impressive.
Not just 2019. This is a 2020 Randy River.
That's what... It is Randy River.
Geppetto and Randy River stitched that thing together.
Is Randy River still a thing?
I don't know if it is or not.
It's big out west.
Yeah. It does feel like something like the oil sands would love a Randy River.
Oh, yeah.
Get out there and get on the ranch and start doing your things out in Alberta.
Well, there's things, yeah. You could... There's certain suits you buy that you know you could actually, like, bale hay in.
The
and
best.
There would be no problem.
Yeah. There's no sweating issues.
Well, exactly.
Oh, breathes. It breathes.
Well. Yeah.
That's when you know you're a grit grinder. When you're clothes, you need something that will breathe well, as if it's an organism.
Yeah.
It's a suit.
You know you're going to be hot in the rigs or the mines or whatever you're doing.
Well, that's why I brought up going to the mall today. Like, I had other jobs. I've been a return gopher for my wife, ordering stuff online.
Yeah.
But just the whole mood in a mall in December, it is... How is that not a show? Like, how is that not a show? Just malls in December. Just check out the people that are in there, because...
And you don't have to do anything. You just set up a camera in the middle of the mall.
It's forced cheer, because everyone... The employees feel like they have to put it on. It's holiday hours now and all that. But even people that are in there buying stuff for the right reasons, you know, they're buying for their significant others or kids, or they don't really want to be there.
And I got to tell you, my family's getting close to just... It's already happened. Like, just no exchanging. Like, just
we do
buy
that.
Buy yourself a gift. Don't you?
Yeah, we email money.
Just like all of us. There's no gifts this year. Like, buy yourself a bottle of booze instead of buying me one, and then me buying you a bottle of booze. Yeah. Like,
that was the most pathetic gift exchange
we had, like,
in
4 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Malls gets a Crown Royal. Yeah. I get a Grey Goose. You got a rum or something.
We just circulated bottles and then left.
Yeah.
Nothing was wrapped. There were no cards.
No.
It was pathetic.
We all picked it up on the way to the studio that day.
Yeah. We got the group text. Don't forget, we're bringing in gifts. And we all got a bottle of booze. And I don't think that was a part of the thing. Like,
no.
You could have gotten anything. I could have gotten you a gift card. I could have gotten you... You know, something personalized.
Now, the gas station gift card on the 24th is...
You know where I stand on that.
Yeah,
and
I have been
steadfast for years that I believe a gift card is the best possible gift, and it's actually more thoughtful.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, here's some cash. You go get what you want with this gift card. Instead of me buying something that's the wrong size, the style that you don't like, or something you already have, gift cards... For everybody, and I think we'd have a great, happy society.
The only thing that trumps that is just cash.
But cash is so cold.
I don't mind that, though.
And of a certain age. Like, I have a niece, we've got nephews, cash all the time.
Right.
Cash.
Send some money.
Because they don't want anything different.
Buy what you want. I've got niece and nephews, and on their birthdays, Christmas, I email the parents and go, here's
some cash.
$100 for the kids.
Exactly.
Let them go buy video games or whatever they want to do.
Right.
Spoil themselves.
No, I think a gift card is actually very thoughtful. It's got a bad reputation.
Right.
And I don't know who started it, but it's garbage.
What's the worst present you've ever received? You don't have to tell, like, who from, but I could start it.
I can't think of one that sticks out.
I got a scarecrow one Christmas.
You live on a farm?
No, I don't live on a farm.
That sucks.
Where do you buy a scarecrow?
I think it was purchased at a garage sale, and I would come home for Christmas. I was playing in the NHL. and I came home. I would fly home to Edmonton, St. Albert, Alberta, and I would go to my parents for Christmas Eve. We always opened the presents Christmas Eve. And I walked into the family room, and there was a giant... garbage bag with a figure underneath it. And I was like, what the hell is that? And my mom goes, that's your present. And she was annoyed.
Who gave you that?
My grandma.
So she was driving around. You're in the NHL. You're in your 20s, I'm assuming, at this point.
Yeah, I got to get noodles.
A scarecrow. Were you living in New York? Tell me you were on the island.
No, I was... I want to say I was playing in St. Louis. Let's say I was playing in St. Louis.
Not that it matters.
Why do you say thank you for that? Like,
I don't know, and my mom was quite annoyed.
With you or the scarecrow?
No, I just think that the choice of presents was quite unique.
That's the strangest present ever.
You can't even come close to topping that.
I didn't know, this is going to sound stupid, I didn't know you could buy scarecrows. Like, I always thought scarecrows were self-made. Like, who buys a scarecrow?
I believe at that time, my Nana was very thrifty in going... to neighborhood garage sales.
Yeah, that's
thrift. I believe she found this and thought that would be fantastic for Jamie. I don't know how or what. The thing is I wish I would have kept it. I don't know where that scarecrow is today.
I think a scarecrow, it could be worth a lot of money today. It really could.
I don't know. That was a tough present. Tough.
I've never experienced anything close to that. I mean, I know of other people that have gotten some gifts that are just more humorous, like they weren't meant to be, but you open it. Well, it's not even a gag gift. Like, it was a legitimate gift, and it gets opened, and you're like, that's okay.
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to no one's going to complain about it or anything. I don't want to make it sound like we're all spoiled or whatever, but
right.
Just like that, that's...
You're not going to come with the heat. Don't get somebody a gift.
What was the line of thinking on that move?
Yeah.
Anyway, Bob McKenzie in studio in about 25 minutes. We caught up with Mike Soroka earlier.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time we've replayed an interview. Maybe we did with Babcock. I don't even know if we did.
Yeah, I think it was with Babs.
But Soroka he's the man right now in terms of Canadian baseball. He's right there with guys like Votto and others. He won the Tip O'Neill Award this year. Second in Rookie of the Year in the NL. Sixth in the Cy Young race. And we caught up with him earlier today, and we're like, this guy is a phenomenal interview.
Yeah, he was great.
And we began because he's from Calgary. We wanted to know, did he look up to Noodles growing up? Because we didn't know how he was going to respond to that. Yeah. And we began by asking him about his recollection of Jamie Noodles McLennan in Calgary. And here is what Mike Soroka had to say.
Always, because, you know, Mikki Kiprusoff was the reason I wanted to be a goalie. And at the time, Jamie was backing up for him. So, and then Jamie's been on... Sports Center TSN for a long time now.
Yes,
and,
we're on TSN.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, TSN.
So, I mean, yeah, of course. I was a big fan of Jamie.
Well, there you go. See?
He knows you, Noodles.
I'm shocked.
He knows you, man.
He's the only guy.
He's the guy.
Amazing.
Have you ever been to Cowboys in Calgary?
A few times, right when I came home, I guess I'd been legal for the first time, so... I'm not sure I've been back since.
Okay. Just to clarify the whole Calgary story, we wanted to get to the bottom of that.
Do you still wheel back there in the off season every winter, like back to Calgary, or are you like, screw that, I'm going to Florida, California, where do you head?
No, I like to spend my time back home in Calgary. It'll always be home to me. You know, I'm pretty lucky back here with a facility and a training staff back home. To be able to work out with some of the Olympians that are based out of here. So it's kind of a nice change of scenery. And, you know, I guess the worst of both. I get the heat in Atlanta and then I get the cold here. So, you know, I get them all. So I like to come back home.
How difficult is it for you to get some of your teammates or buddies from the southern United States to get to Calgary in the wintertime to visit you?
It's honestly not too much because... most of them know Banff, at least the ones with wives, too, that want to go vacationing here. So it's actually not been too hard. I had a buddy of mine, Colby Allard, he was just traded to the Texas Rangers, but we were best friends coming up through the system. He came up to visit me a couple of years ago in the off season, and I talked to him today. He actually wanted to come back when it was colder. He said it wasn't cold enough last time he came. So
I love those guys.
You know. Yeah, I told him it was mid-December, and for some reason, I mean, you know, Calgary, it was like 15 above, and, you know, I think he needs to come back when it's negative 30.
Yeah, that's not the true experience. You got to get him up in January or Feb with Mike Soroka of the Atlanta Braves. So your season, I mean, we were tracking you and talking about you all year, second in NL Rookie of the Year, sixth in Cy Young. Prior to the season, your expectations for the season, how much did you blow those out of the water?
I mean, I always tell people coming into the season, having dealt with injuries the prior season, the goal of mine was to stay healthy the entirety of the season, and really to compete every start. I had the confidence in my abilities and our abilities with our training staff, medical staff, that... you know, if I was given a chance to compete, that I would be able to go out there and give it everything I had every pitch. So that was really it. And I think honestly that helped me. And that's something I learned going forward is that, you know, stat expectations are kind of irrelevant because so many things can happen in this game. There's so much depending on that. But one thing I can control is my attitude every day to be able to go out there and earn my next start. I think that's going to be the approach I have to take going forward.
With Mike Soroka of the Braves, you have yet to hit a home run at the major league level. If and when that happens, or will you be a bat flip guy?
I say maybe, but honestly, in the moment, I don't think I'll be thinking of anything other than disbelief that that ball might go over. we take BP enough to where you have a pretty good sense of when you get one and when one's going out. But I've heard from many pitchers who've done it in games said that that's actually one of the best feelings they've ever felt in baseball, and I don't doubt it. As something I love to do was hit home runs, all the way through Little League and minor baseball in Calgary, and that I think that would be a bit of a different experience to do it in the big leagues.
Was there any pitchers this year where you walked back to the dugout and said, I will never, ever get a hit off that particular man?
There's definitely some that you don't know how guys get hits on some days, and usually those guys are the guys that are, your DeGroms and your Scherzers. I got lucky this year. I ran into a DeGrom slider for a slap single the other way, but... you kind of almost just got to sell out to one pitch with them and hope you get lucky. But the one that floored me the most, honestly, was Max Scherzer. Because on TV you watch and his stuff is obviously electric. He throws hard. His slider moves, his changeup moves. But to me and to all our guys, what separates him is his deception. He kind of throws out of his armpit a little bit. And with a fastball that rises, you really kind of got to look low in the zone for a fastball. But the problem is that the pitches that he throws low in the zone are usually his slider and his changeup that aren't going to be in the zone. So it's kind of everything that looks good isn't good, So like I said, you really just got to sell out to likely a fastball and hope you get lucky and he leaves it in a spot where you can get there.
What's it like giving up a hit to a pitcher?
It's the worst.
Any home runs? Have you given up a home run?
Knocking on wood, no. There's definitely some pitchers in our league that can do some damage. Zach Greinke, Bumgarner, Zach Wheeler, too. He's got a couple under his belt. But, I think one approach a lot of guys take to pitching to pitchers is that they assume they're not going to do damage, and they kind of just, let the at-bat unfold. And I think the only hit I gave up to a pitcher this year was one of those swinging bunts from Anibal Sanchez. So hopefully I continue with that. But
yeah, that's not bad.
Really, I try and go out there and bury them.
That's, you got to, right? I mean, it's got to be all, throw fastballs. That's all I can think of. Just throw heat. Because what can you really expect? There's a couple of guys historically, like Bumgarner's always been a really quality hitter,
right,
for a pitcher, but a lot of the guys are just stepping up and they almost just don't want to get hit. And if they can get four balls and get on base, they'll take it, right?
What about a guy like Big Sexy?
Well, who, Cologne?
Yeah.
Bartolo Cologne?
The thing with fastballs to a pitcher is that if they're going to sell out to a pitch, that's going to be the one.
Right.
And if you take the approach where you don't want to walk him, that's the absolute worst approach you can take. And like I said, my approach has to be that I want to bury him. So if I'm throwing a fastball first pitch, it's going to be on a corner or even inside. Like you said, pitchers don't want to get hit, and throwing inside, they're going to be late to that pitch, and they're probably just looking out over the plate to slap something. You realize quickly that There's no code among pitchers when guys are on base or things are on the line. When you face somebody like Scherzer or DeGrom, and they're putting you away with the same stuff that they put Freddie Freeman away with, and you realize pretty quickly that it should be a free strikeout, and you try and go get that in three pitches.
With Mike Soroka of the Atlanta Braves from Calgary. There's been a lot of great ball players from this country over the years with varying profiles on the national level. Look at a guy like Joey Votto, who might be the best Canadian ball player of all time. He's from Toronto, and he doesn't have much of a profile up here because
the team he's on never wins.
Yeah, but I think he just doesn't really want it. Like, he's up in Toronto all the time, and he's not seeking out endorsement deals and publicity and stuff like that. Have you put any thought into your own profile in the country? And if so, what are you hoping to achieve from that standpoint in Canada?
Yeah, I think we're given a pretty incredible opportunity to be able to represent a country. And, you know, I haven't got a chance to really know Joey at all, but I do know he's pretty quiet and likes to remain on his own program, and that's fine. You know, we realize that the demands during the season can be pretty stressful, and you know, that shouldn't be a duty, but it's something that I feel personal with because of the way Chris Rietsma was able to bring me up in baseball in Calgary and kind of be that person for me to look at and understand that I could be that guy one day, and I hope I can be. So currently being involved with kids sport in Calgary when I can, when I'm home, is important. And, you know, being at a high school athletics fundraiser last night, little things like that, just to, you know, just be there and show that you care. You care about giving back. That's important to me, and ultimately something that I'm sure will get bigger as life goes on.
Absolutely, man. You keep playing and pitching like that. I mean, the whole baseball world's paying attention, but up here, I can tell you, Canadian baseball fans really excited, and obviously you won the 2019 Tip O'Neill Award. And he had a great, great season down there. So best of luck throughout the rest of the offseason. Next year down in Atlanta, the expectations are high, and I'm sure you guys will follow through again. So thank you so much for doing this afternoon.
Awesome. Thank you all so much.
There he is, Mike Soroka, joining us. A double shot. That's how good of an interview he was.
He was.
And Phil tweeting in with a very valid point, the TSN offering a max contract to Mike Soroka post-career. After that Overdrive interview, that's exactly what has to happen. Now, that's probably 20 years down the road, and he might have $200 million cash in the bank if he keeps rolling.
They got to deal with you and me before him.
Hopefully a few times. If it's in 20 years, you never know. 20 years, they might be like Overdrive. If we're lucky enough to stay here.
Older Drive.
Older Drive.
Dude, that 20 could be years. Any day. Get out.
Yeah, it could be. The old pass card, they close your eyes and it still works and you get in.
Gone.
Pay for this camo jacket.
Exactly.
On layaway.
You could get in a motorcycle accident with that and come out not a scratch.
That's true.
Randy River.
Oh, someone sent a tweet in saying Randy River.
Still going?
No, out of business. Rather. Gone.
It's too bad.
Let's get that back. Like vinyls back? You want get Randy suit? River back.
You want a vinyl suit?
No, I mean vinyl, like the...
Oh, records.
Records. It's records, but
Taddy
now that...
Taddy listens to records in his underpants every night. He told me.
in his underpants?
He didn't tell you that.
Yes, he did.
Said he strips down, sits down on the couch, and listens to records.
He gears down into his underpants, and he listens to records and goes to sleep. He has earphones and everything.
There is no way that's
true. He brings Chat these
man,
ones
if you're
home.
Listening... Yeah, they're like that. If you're listening, confirm or deny.
Confirm or deny. Or how about yes guy, no guy?
Yes.
Forget confirm or deny.
Let's call him and play a yes guy, no guy very quickly.
All right, we'll do that later. We got Bob McKenzie coming in.
Okay, but after Bob, we'll call the Tat Man and say, do you listen to records with your underpants on?
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Recap our poll question online, courtesy of jerseyfactory.com. But Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, is in studio. What's up, Bob?
Hey, boys, how you doing?
We're doing pretty well. Caden Primo making his debut tonight at the Bell Center against Colorado.
It's a showcase game?
No.
They believe in him. They like him.
Just going to give him a game and see what happens. And, yeah, they... they got a back-to-back situation, so they knew they needed to use a backup goalie. They just sent Kincaid down to try and find his game. So you might as well give this kid an opportunity. He's a big kid, and it's amazing the progress he's made as a seventh-round pick. who played at Northeastern, and to get things done as quickly as he's got them done. So it'll be an interesting night. When I was talking to the boys on First Up on Wednesday, they asked me, did I think Claude would play him on Thursday night or Friday night? And I kind of thought Friday night, not at home. So this is one of those nights where this could be like electric. Kid comes in and his first game at the Bell Center, and you know, what if he pitches a shutout and plays great? The electricity in Montreal would just be fantastic. Right. Of course, the flip side is they're playing Colorado, and what if McKinnon and Rantanen, and I think Landeskog's back in the lineup tonight, and so is Burakovsky, and so they look like they've got their full lineup going with Makar and Girard and the offensive guys on the blue line. What happens if the Avs
light them up
and just like shoot the lights out here, and the kid's on home ice, and you're like, whoa.
Our guy behind the glass had a good point. It's like, does Jersey maybe want to have a look at this guy to see if...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even sure that Montreal is going to be front and center on the Taylor Hall thing. I think the team they're playing is much more likely to pay a stiff price. My guess is by the time it's all said and done, if there are teams like Colorado that see themselves as a contender and might find a way to, even if they wouldn't be looking just at Taylor Hall as a pure rental, they might be able to work him into their equation down the road. The prices might be more than Montreal will be prepared to pay, but we'll see.
So much better if he has 50 stops in a shutout tonight.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Yeah.
Because someone's writing Dryden, Waugh, Price. Like, you just know it in that market.
So who's going to be the guy that writes? So I think they need to trade Carey Price.
That's the next. That's the second paragraph.
I know. Save $10 million on the cap.
You know it.
I think he could trade Carey Price, as good as a goaltender as he is. Like, who's taking on that money?
Who could take that money? There's only a couple teams, and then...
I was joking, by the way.
I'm just saying, in case
I get radioed there. Right. Yeah, grappler's is getting ready to put a tweet out.
Yeah, exactly.
He's grappling with that quote.
Wow. He's already messed with Brian in the last hour, so we can't. He's had a rough show.
Has he?
Well,
I've had a rough show. I've been chewing my tongue off.
What did he do to Brian?
Well, he gave me a read. It wasn't his fault. Someone else gave him the read. Ultimately, it's my responsibility.
But I'm sure you do your reads.
I'm sure you've seen Anchorman before. I mean, it was a burgundy moment. I just read off the page, and it was the wrong read. Right. And I got all the way through it, and I said, wait a minute, that can't be right.
Doesn't make sense.
Like, we're giving away something on our show, and the read said you got to listen to the morning show, and So I got burgundied, but I guess, you know, I'm the guy on the screen and on the mic, so.
That's fine, but I
got to own it.
My biggest thing is, is Taylor Hall, like, is he for sure gone, do you think, out of Jersey before the deadline? Like,
I would say... I said on NBC last night, I said, if you know me at all, I'm not very presumptuous. I don't presume a lot.
Right.
But what I presume is that Taylor Hall does not want to re-sign long-term with New Jersey Devils. And equally as important, the New Jersey Devils do not want to sign Taylor Hall to a 7 or 8 year contract in double-digit AAV. So if we can go on that leap of faith, he's going to get traded.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be interesting. We don't know what the price is going to be. We don't know whether it happens early or happens late. I just talked on Insider Trading about it, and I said, I believe Ray Shiro's wide open to anything. You know, a lot of times we always say, okay, high-end rental, you got to get a first-round pick, you got to get an A-plus prospect, you got to get a young player that can play now, and you got to have a conditional first-round pick in case he re-signs. And that's what it always starts out at, and then it ends up being less or whatever. But the point is, I don't think Ray Shiro is wedded to the idea of, I've got to get a first-round pick and this and this and this, as much as, you know what, bring it on. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a cap team and you need cap relief, I can retain salary. I got no problem retaining salary. That means the price will be higher. You know, maybe it's a huge one for one where the one element coming back the other way is an absolute knock, you know, A++ prospect. You know, so I think they're just going to feel their way on that. And I think it could be done, like, right away, if the right offer came in. He's not wedded to the idea of, I got to wait till the deadline.
Why did this one fast track, Bobby? Like, why?
Because the Devils suck so bad out of the gate. You know, and again, I think we all assume they're dead in the water. But there's a lot of hockey left to be played. And so they're going to see where things go. But right now, you know, I don't think, as I said off the top, I'm going to presume that Taylor Hall's not re-signing there. I'm going to presume that the Devils wouldn't want to give him as much money in as many years as he wants.
Can you picture any situation between now and the trade deadline? And it would have to be up against the deadline, I would think. Mm-hmm. You'd have to take as many games as possible where the Leafs have to start thinking about trading pieces, Muzzin being a UFA, Barry being a UFA. I it's hard to believe that that's a possibility, but the way they're playing, it's not out of the realm of possibility that come late February, they're 5 points out of a spot.
Possible.
Yeah.
It's possible, but you know what? It's way too early again. And I realize that, you know, there's not reason for optimism right now. But the flip side of that is, it's funny, too, the perspective outside the marketplace. I was at NBC last night, so I was working with Keith Jones, and he did the Flyers game in Philly, the Leaf Flyer game. And he said on the air last night, they were doing a live look in to the Leafs in Colorado, and he goes, yeah, Leafs fell apart in the bottom back half of the third period. Yep. But he goes, for 2.5 periods, I really liked them. I thought they're one of the better teams I've seen lately. I thought that they were way better than the Flyers in the first 50 minutes. But, you know, games are 60 minutes long or longer, and the Leafs found a way to get on the wrong side of it in that final 10 minutes. Same deal last night. I mean, I didn't see the game. I didn't watch every minute of it. I saw some of it when I was working the NBC game. But, I mean, through two periods, I think everybody was pretty happy with the way the game had gone.
Yeah, they played fine.
Yeah.
They played fine. I mean,
against a good team.
Yeah, they had a good game.
Against a good team. And
back
then
to back and all that.
You end up with the Spezza gaffe, and they lost.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, sorry. I was going to say, I think our complaint or everyone's complaint that we hear from is their lack of pushing through on those top teams. Mm-hmm. Colorado's a top team. Like, think about the games that they've won and lost.
When you think that they're off once a week, the teams they beat.
No, I know, yeah. But that's...
Well, and looking forward, it doesn't matter because you have to play the game, but in terms of a mentality, they're in St. Louis on Saturday. I have no expectation they win that game. None. Based on what they've done all year.
And yet, there's a blueprint. The game I did see last night was the Pittsburgh Penguins and the St. Louis Blues. And the
played
Pittsburgh,
well.
Pittsburgh Penguins were missing 5 of their top 9 forwards and 3 of their top 5 defensemen. So think about that one for a minute. You know?
And they won the game.
And they 3-0. They won the game 3-0. And the reason they won the game is because they played so hard. So, and listen, I understand why everybody would take the collective big picture look at the Leafs and say, you know what, back-to-back game 7 losses, their defense was no good last year, it's no good this year, they had to fire the coach, Matthews isn't playing well, or at least he's producing, but he's not, although the last 4 or 5 games he hasn't been producing. But I can understand why everybody would look at that and say, big picture, there's no reason for optimism. But I'm also of the opinion that, yeah, you know what? You played 50 good minutes against Philly. You played 40-plus good minutes against Colorado. You've got a brand-new coach who's had the team for 2 weeks or whatever. Let's see what they do here. And I understand everybody saying time's a wasting and you could be out of it by then. It's a funny league this year. I think it's hard to play your way out of it because I think the teams ahead of you are all the same as the Leafs. Insofar as outside of the Bruins, in this division, you look at the Florida Panthers, you look at the Montreal Canadiens, you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning,
Buffalo, it's all the same.
Not so, there's a lot of parity there.
So I'm just saying that if it takes you a month to figure things out, you might have a month to figure things out this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was the opposite last year because the top three teams ran away and hid from everybody else. We knew mid-season the Tampa was the best team and they were not going to get caught and that Toronto and Boston were just going to fight for home ice and nobody else in the division was coming. It's the exact opposite this year. The Bruins look like they're going to run and hide on everybody.
Right.
But virtually every position after that, Florida, Montreal, Toronto, the Lightning, Sabres, everybody, it's like a dog's breakfast.
Well, and we've said a few times this afternoon, the hope is that these guys just are not playing well individually.
Right, right.
Not there's a real core issue.
Yeah.
Like there's no leadership, there's no drive, there's no whatever it might be, because then you've got a poison here that you're going to have to find a way to cut out.
And see, so, you know, then, you know, was the Kadri trade, did they lose all their drive with the Kadri trade? I don't think so. Was Babcock, you know, was he the guy that was driving it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But, you know, last year they didn't lack drive. But now it's different, and they've been through some pretty dramatic changes, and there's no question from here on in, that's what they're going to be judged on. Who's going to pick them up by their bootstraps? Any one individual or...
maybe a handful, but that's
a handful
the sport
of them,
in nature.
But that's what everybody's going to be waiting to see here.
Yeah, that's...
No doubt.
That's the one, and it's got to be the guys you've paid ideally.
And see, if they if they had have somehow found a way to win that game last night, they could use it as a pivotal moment. Freddie was that guy. Freddie goes to the coach after the game, I want to play, I'm playing the next night. And everybody's like, yeah, we can't hang out, Freddie. And if you go and you win the game, you're like, yeah, we did that one for Freddie, and now we're rolling, and we got character, and we got heart, and then you end up
with... The galvanizing moment.
Yeah, the galvanizing moment was Spezza losing his stick and getting in Riley's way, and Nikushkin going down and burying.
But Brian said, though, if they're up 4-1, that gaff looks nothing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Nothing. Now, Grubauer played very well. Like, you can't... Like, he was fantastic, Bob. I know you said he only saw the parts of it. Like,
yeah,
he made some big saves at the right time. And Freddie was really good. Like, that was... It was a pretty good game. But excuses are for losers. That's, you know, when we can't keep going, well, it was a great effort. You got to find a way to break through against
these
top teams.
Agree on all that. But as I go back, and I understand the collective mindset of Leaf fans is to look at the collective picture and throw up your hands and say, this team's going nowhere. And maybe that's the case, but I'm saying it's way too early to tell, and the division might be forgiving enough that it gives you some time to figure it out.
Are we seeing a different Bobby that on Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, he puts his stake in the ground and he makes a call on a team?
No, I don't do that.
Didn't you say American Thanksgiving, you generally get a feel for what?
Well, yeah, but now the other thing that's made me realize it is, and I know this from doing so much radio, because I get on the radio in Winnipeg, Montreal, and Edmonton every Monday morning. And every Monday morning, I'm talking about something that was 180 degrees different than the week before. Yeah. Same team, completely different thing. And you're like, wow, things changed a lot in a week. and it keeps flipping back and forth. So I look at these standings and I'm like, I don't know. I've never had less of an idea of who's good and who's not.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Like, I know Boston's good.
Boston,
and I know St. Louis is good.
Washington,
yeah,
Washington's good.
The Islanders,
I think, are good. There's four or five teams that clearly have structure, clearly have everything. Everyone else is kind of lumped together.
Yeah.
And even Colorado on the Islanders, you might say to yourself, "Hey, still want to give it a little longer," you know.
Yep. Yep, yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's three or four teams tops where you're fully...
I'm still trying to figure out Tampa Bay.
Yeah. The only thing they have is games.
They got five games in hand on the Leafs, and they're a point back.
Yeah.
So they're going to backdoor themselves into a spot ahead of them, but ultimately it's December, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Right, we'll find out come April. All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man.
Thank you.
Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider. We'll update our poll question online. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, our poll question online brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. We were relaying Kawhi Leonard's quotes from earlier today. He was asked about his return to Toronto next week, and not surprisingly, very nonchalant. We're up there to just play a game. We're up there to win. It's not about me. Yeah, I'm going to get my ring, but whatever. He's not going to do much. But we're asking people, looking ahead to that, what kind of a reaction would you expect for Kawhi when he receives his championship ring? So not during the game, not after the game, before the game when he gets his ring. 58% of people, he does absolutely nothing. Nothing. He just he walks up, he receives it, maybe shakes a hand or two, and leaves. 37% cracks a smile. 2% starts crying, no chance.
Yeah, that's there's zero chance.
3% laughing. There's a sneaky answer right there. Because someone, if it's Tannenbaum might, you know, get him going
a
little bit.
Or something.
You know, hey, don't lose it. Don't lose this. Or, you know, you never know. You might get a sneaky laugh out of Kawhi. The poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Custom team uniforms and logos at prices to suit any budget. Play like a pro. Look like a pro. JerseyFactory.com. The official total in Vegas tonight for James Harden, 36.5 points. Do you want the over or the under on that?
I'm over.
Noodles is over the number.
Yeah.
I'm under the number.
I'm under the number.
You're under now. We're both under the number.
I'll take over for $20.
All right, sure, just for fun. Why not? Something to track. I think the Raps go under. I think the Raptors win tonight, too. Bounce back effort. Bounce back tonight down at Scotiabank. Cowboys -3 at the Bears. The Eagles are handing them the division anyway, but at some point you got to win some games.
That's true.
Right? Like you go 7-9, you're probably not going to get in. The Eagles are going to win probably two more games. So this is a pretty good game for a Thursday nighter. You know, right. Like the Bears, they're not going to get back into the division. Maybe wild card chase. Maybe if they run off four straight.
Right.
So you got that game going on. Raptors, Houston tonight. Our best bet's brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the props in that game, I'm on big game Mitchell Trubisky over the number passing yards. Allen Robinson over the number total receptions, over the number total sacks. Throw down 20. You can score 103. You can find my picks on Twitter. At TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, good stuff today.
Better work. You're staring at yourself in your coat.
I'm looking at my subtle
so proud
camo
of his coat.
I love my camo jacket.
It actually did well.
You can't really pick it up on TV. Like I'm looking, but I don't think you can really see it.
You got to get more in the light. You got to lean back in the light.
Gene Machine. That's where you got that.
Gene Machine. I remember giving my email away at a Gene Machine. Because, you know, every place they ask for, and I'm like, what am I doing at a Gene Machine giving my email away?
We got to go through that tomorrow. Old school stores.
Gene Machine is such a staple in every mall in
River
Canada.
Randy River was a veteran move.
Yeah.
There were some big ones back.
I'll tell you what was a veteran move. Byway.
Byway was outstanding. Remember the bags, the black and white bags? You probably didn't have it out west.
I didn't have it out west.
All Byway my was sneaks great. For school, Byway.
I think Kmart's still around.
No, I think they were absorbed by one of the bigger
like
companies.
Walmart like
Target,
or something.
Yeah.
Well, Target.
Kmart. Zellers. Do you ever
Zellers is
Zellers?
Still around. There are Zellers. Yes, there are. I'm telling you.
There is no Zellers around anymore.
There are Zellers in Toronto.
They are all out of business.
I'm telling you. All right. We're out of here. Enjoy the games tonight. Raptors, Houston, Bears taking on the Cowboys. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
Join us.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA, and they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.